can make you do it. Makes us all the better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right. Comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown!
Well, unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci here with you on a Thursday. Of course, the big news, the Browns have released veteran inside linebacker DaQuell Jackson. 8 seasons with the Browns, totaling 529 tackles, 289 assists, 8 interceptions. Was a guy that was really a kind of a stalwart for this team on the inside. Lots of tackles over the last 3 years. In fact, he is 4th in the NFL in tackles the last 3 seasons. A solid presence, a veteran presence, a guy in the locker room who was one of the leaders of this team and someone who will be missed. And this comes down to one of those business decisions that must be made in the National Football League. But I'll tell you what, this is the first move of the Ray Farmer era, and I'll tell you why I like the way it was done to help DaQuell out. He gets a head start on free agency.
Right.
He's got meetings lined up already. He's going to be able to get into a situation that they like. So I think that, you know, there's going to be a leadership transition. I think Joe Hayden, I think this also makes it a little more important to re-sign T.J. Ward to keep some of that continuity on the defensive side of the ball. But DaQuell Jackson, and we want to hear from you guys today about kind of your favorite DaQuell memories. There was a big thank you DQ52 campaign on Twitter yesterday that got a lot of publicity and a lot of tweets about it, and it was very cool. And to me, you know, DaQuell Jackson always very, very solid. I'm sorry he never got to see the wins that maybe you would like to see for a guy like him. But, you know, DaQuell Jackson, no longer a Brown, but 8 solid seasons, and now he has an opportunity to get out there quickly in free agency.
Yeah, you understand the business side of this. He's 30 after 8 NFL seasons and on this team that has undergone so much change and continues to undergo change, he was very vulnerable. He had a roster bonus due, reportedly upwards of $4 million coming his way next month. So the timing of this, rather than wait until the time that that roster bonus would be paid to release him now, gives him that opportunity to get work elsewhere. He does have a lot of visits lined up. I exchanged texts with him last night, actually asking to see if we could get him on the show, but he said he was going to be making visits kind of during this window of time. But appreciated that and said his thank yous. And he was such an easy guy to like and very popular, I know, with the fan base here. And a real fixture. When you think about how many new coaches and general managers and team presidents, and then you had a chief executive officer, oh, yeah, and an ownership change go on during the time Jackson was here, he was the consummate survivor. I mean, you know, when all these changes occur and different ideas of how to run a football team go on, players usually find themselves swept out in those changes. He was not. And I also like the fact that he was, I think he represented exactly what a leader should be, his sense of being the glue of the defense and being aware of everything going around him, holding teammates accountable, and went through a lot of rough times, including last year's 4-12 finish. And there were just a lot of moments last year when he was the one speaking up at meetings, team meetings, and so forth. But I'm agreeing with you that, first of all, I think it's a logical move because his skill set for this team in terms of coverage was difficult, was a challenge. He struggled there. He made a lot of tackles, and he was part of that as an inside linebacker, but in terms of the challenges of coverage, I thought he and Craig Robertson became liabilities in pass coverage, and I think that was a big problem for this defense, at least the way it was set up. There will be a leadership void that has to be filled. I do think a guy like Joe Hayden learned well from DaQuell Jackson and can step into that role, but others need to do so. Your point about T.J. Ward is well taken. Hopefully it does matter to this team to try to retain that guy. But I also think others have to accept and step up to the leadership role.
And that's going to be the key. I think that'll be the toughest thing to replace is the leadership. Joe Thomas, Joe Hayden, if you can bring back T.J. Ward, these are the guys who are going to step up and become the leaders of this team in that locker room. And I think that, you know, DeQuell Jackson handled the way that he left in as classy as he was on the field and in the locker room, and he certainly wished nothing but the best for him. He said yesterday, quote, to the people of Cleveland and Browns fans everywhere, 8 years ago I began a journey that blessed me with the opportunity to be a part of a wonderful organization and community. I want to take this time to thank each and every one of you for opening your arms and hearts to my family and me and for making Cleveland an easy place to love and call home. It's been an honor playing in front of you. Guy completely classy. He could still play the game. I think that this new staff obviously wanted to go in a new direction. The team has room under the salary cap, so it wasn't purely a financial move. They will be saving with this deal, you know, about $4 million. So you get it from that side of things, but you certainly wish DeQuell the best. And certainly want to hear from you guys your favorite DeQuell Jackson memories, your thoughts of him on his time here. And really, this is a thing where it was clearly a mutually agreed decision, and that was handled, and I think, and I want to give a tip of the cap to Ray Farmer about this, handled in the right way. It was handled in a classy way to give him the opportunity to get a jump on free agency, and as you said in talking to him yesterday, already has visits lined up.
Yeah, they talked about restructuring his contract, couldn't come to a number that was satisfactory to both sides, so that was when DeQuell and his representation said, look, I'm better off going into the open market, and this is very typical. If a player is going to take a pay cut, and that's what the restructuring meant in this case, call it what it is, he'll take the pay cut much better from another team than he will from the team that he's been on, and that's just how it works in this league, and teams understand this and anticipate this. And it just means that the Browns, who already had a need at inside linebacker, I think look at that need now as being even greater. And now instead of just trying to get a replacement, say, for Craig Robertson, they've got to get, you know, at least maybe two people, maybe one in free agency, one in the draft, to fill that linebacker position. It's likely that the Browns are going to have two. And again, depending on how this configuration is with this defense, they're going to play multiple looks. If it's a 3-4 scheme, then you're going to have two new people in the middle of it, and whatever it is as a middle linebacker, if it's when you have four looks and you're going to put some four-man front, I should say, you're going to put somebody in the middle there who would be that consummate signal caller, relay guy, a guy who adjusts things as he sees them. DeQuell did so well. You need a smart and experienced presence probably to handle that. I'm not saying a rookie can't, but I think it's a big deal to have the right, quote, quarterback of the defense in that role.
Well, if there's anything that can give you confidence that a rookie can have success in this defense, last year in Buffalo it was Kiko Alonso, taken by the Buffalo Bills, stepped in as a rookie, was arguably the best defensive rookie in the National Football League last year, and was very good. So he was able to step into that and did a great job in that defense that was the same defense that the Browns are going to be running this year. So that certainly was good. I think that gives you a little bit of confidence. I think it's a situation where they're going to be looking to upgrade speed in the middle of the field. I think that's the name of the game. You want a middle linebacker and get deep in coverage, but can also go sideline to sideline. And I think that's what you're looking at and what you're hoping for. And there's some of the guys out here that are kind of in that range. Remember, it's not about total pure speed. It's about how good you are at getting depth on your drops. You look at a guy like Kiko Alonso, ran a 4.75 last year. And as you go through this year's draft class and you look at these inside linebackers and the guys that the Browns have been, you know, linked to, we've heard C.J. Mosley runs about a 4.6, so that's an upgrade. And just kind of a little bit on the low side of that is Borland from Wisconsin, runs about a 4.8. So there are guys kind of in that similar athletic range, Mosley obviously being the best that the Browns could address as this goes on here via the draft.
Yeah, I think this is a good year if you need help at that position to pursue the draft for it. And I think the Browns are going to look at some of these obvious names, Borland, Scov from Stanford, Shane Scov, another guy that I think, you know, again, smart player. And Kiko Alonso, it's a rare find to get somebody who had that elevated football instinct that he has, and that was the book on him. He was almost freakish in that regard, that he had such a great feel for the game and understanding, a deeper understanding and knowledge, right? I mean, he
right.
is, to go along with some athletic skill, obviously, but he knew you don't often see rookies as accomplished as that in their ability to understand the game. We're going to have, by the way, at 1:45, Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, will talk with us. She's got some good perspective on DeQuell Jackson. Had an opportunity to interview him for an article she wrote for the Plain Dealer and for Cleveland.com. We'll talk with her at 1:45. At 2 o'clock, our buddy Jason LaConfora from CBSSports.com will get some national take on the Browns from him. You made the call out for calls, Nathan. Let's get Jeremy and Parma to join us now. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Jeremy?
Hey, I just want to say, sad to see DeQuell go, but I understand how business side of the NFL goes. He's an awesome, amazing player. In my book, he's one of the best that we had. One of the memorable times for me is, I don't know if you guys, well, I'm sure you guys remember when Josh Gordon's suspension was going on, and DeQuell kind of came out on the media and called him out. That, to me, shows tremendous leadership that he had for this team, and just the devotion that he had to try to help keep guys on an even track. The second thing I want to say real quick is year after year, we've been getting just needs in the draft and through free agency, and I hope this is a year through Ray Farmer that we start getting weapons to score more instead of just getting needs. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, and I think that echoes the sentiment of the head coach, Mike Pettine, who said, we don't want to win games 10-9. We want to go out there and we want to score points. That's what it's about, getting explosive playmakers. And to that end, Daniel Jeremiah just released his latest mock draft 3.0 for him, has the Browns taking, with all three quarterbacks on the board at number 4, has the Browns taking Sammy Watkins at number 4, Derek Carr at number 26, getting playmakers, guys who can put points on the board. And that's, you know, I think there's something to that.
Yeah, I think there's a trend in thinking now, and the combine usually influences this to some degree. Even though Teddy Bridgewater and Johnny Manziel didn't throw, didn't really do anything there, they did some things, engaging with teams who had their opportunity to talk with them, running their 40 times as well, and only Blake Bortles was the one to throw. But I think as people have taken a closer look, and I'm talking about team people, not necessarily the media types, like Aaron Jaworski saying that a Johnny Manziel wouldn't be someone he would take even in the first three rounds necessarily, I think the feeling is a growing feeling, and some of this came up during the season, that there really isn't a true franchise quarterback of the bunch, that this really isn't the year that you want to make that high pick investment in a quarterback. And the conventional wisdom right along, and still some draft analysts in the media, have the Browns attached to a quarterback with that fourth pick, just thinking that's the need and they're going to do it because that's the need. But
I'm
maybe
not so
the same,
sure.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think there's drifting away from that, not only on the part of the Browns, but other teams looking at quarterbacks that maybe you just wouldn't do that high up. You'd come out of the draft with a QB, but you'd come out of it later because nobody in this particular group, and then throw a Derek Carr in there as well, are worthy of being taken either in the first round as a whole, but certainly not in the top half or the top portion of the first round. And I think that's what's happening now. There's a collective feeling kind of going out there, and it's an ebb and a flow, and it'll probably change again. But as we sit here today, less enthusiasm about a quarterback coming to the Browns or anywhere else in among these teams in the higher reaches of the draft.
Absolutely, and I think that is an interesting thing, an interesting transition as we get closer to the draft. And these things are very fluid. Remember, the draft later this year than it's been before. It's in May this season, so more time for even that kind of dissection, that kind of scuttlebutt to change your opinions. Right, and it could change very well as you get even closer to that. But certainly an interesting discussion. Obviously, we know now that the Browns do have a massive gaping hole in the inside of their defense at the linebacker position. Vic and I will talk about draft prospects to put on your radar screen. We'll talk about free agent prospects if the Browns decide to go that route to put on your radar screen as well as we look at addressing that position. But with DeQuell, no longer a member of the Browns, we do want to hear from you, your feelings about it. How do you feel about that move from the Cleveland Browns? What do you want to see happen going forward, and also your best memories about DeQuell Jackson, DQ52, as he is known. We'll be back with all that and much more here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.